Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. I have a wonderful guest on today by the name of Monet Combs. Monet is a life coach, a quantum healer, and a hypnotist who helps starseeds recover their memories from lifetimes on other planets. She also helps people heal at the soul level and find the power in what makes them different. Monet, and you'll have to correct me on this, if you're a Lyran or Lyran starseed, I don't know the pronunciation.
You know what? It's a hotly debated issue. I either hear Lyran, Lyran, or Lyrian. So it's okay. Whatever floats your boat.
I'm making a note here. I'm still in your introduction, but there's a little strange story I have to tell you. I think it's going to go along with what we're talking about today, but I'm going to say Lyrian. Starseed today. She is a chronic illness warrior, and she's a mother of two little star children. On her podcast, the Starseed Awakening Podcast, she shares recordings of these hypnosis sessions with her clients. Thank you, Monet, for joining me for today's episode.
You are so welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
This is so unexpected and so interesting because, you know, for everything that I do with my work, I still have not a lot of skepticism, but I'm always surprised when, if I'm giving a reading, something like this will come up out of the blue. And I'm like, do I even believe in this? Or I've never even heard these words. Hence the word Lyrian. Just to tell you a very quick, short story, I was giving a reading to a friend about, I would say, 3 weeks ago, and she had asked where she was from unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay. And I heard the word, like, something about Lyrian. And I was like,
there you go.
I was like, am I making this up?
Yeah.
And I've never heard of it before. So when I was reading your bio, I kind of, you know, was taken aback. So anyway, we can talk about that another day, but I want to know how you even got started with this work. I'm very interested in your story.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a wild story. So I was, I had been a doula for many years, and then I transitioned, you know, after when the pandemic started, I transitioned into life coaching, and I completed my training for that. And I had been a life coach for a while. You know, it was okay, but I felt like there was something that was calling to me that I didn't know what it was. So I kind of started asking my guides for assistance. And I came to realize that I was actually supposed to be a healer. Something in me knew that that's the direction I was supposed to go. So I ended up finding quantum hypnosis, which is what I do through my quantum healing, similar to kind of Dolores Cannon's work, if you're familiar with her. Yes. And I decided I should have my own session to see, you know, what it's like, so I can help my clients go through the process. And what came out of it, you know, I was kind of expecting, you know, maybe a past life. We're prepared for lives on other planets because we encounter those from time to time. And I had in my own practice, but when I had my session, what came up was this past life that was on my home planet back in the constellation of Lyra. And it was incredibly intense. So I sobbed for like 2.5 hours during this hypnosis session when all this stuff just started pouring out of me about how my home planet was attacked. And I was there when it happened. I was like part of the, I guess, the government, so to say. And it was just this kind of awful thing that had happened that I had been subconsciously storing for so long and had been affecting me so much. And I didn't even know it was in there. And so after that, it just released so much for me and kind of initiated my own healing process in my life, and connected a lot of dots for just some really kind of weird things in my life that never really made sense until I learned about this lifetime that I had.
So when you were having your initial hypnosis sessions, were you, skeptical about the information that was coming, or did it feel oddly familiar, or was there a recognition? What was your initial reaction?
Right. So it's interesting. So as a hypnotist myself, different people have different experiences. Sometimes it's like they're watching a movie, right? And it's, it's kind of, they're seeing these images float in. Sometimes it's a lot more intense than that. And it's like you're re-experiencing the whole thing. And that's how it was for me. So for me, it was so undeniable because I just felt it was like I wasn't just seeing what was happening. I was feeling all the emotions that came with it and releasing all this grief and, everything that kind of went along with it. And so I kind of had a choice afterwards. It was like, okay, I had this wild experience. Now what? Yeah. I can either believe it was true, right? Or I could just be like, okay, that was interesting, and move on. But for me, it was so profound that I just decided, you know what, this happened. This is part of my story. And now I get to move on and heal. I also have I have this session specifically on my podcast if anybody wants to listen to it. So you can hear the actual session of this whole story of the war that I lived through in this lifetime.
I'm personally very fascinated about this story because I think, I'm trying to understand what that would feel like, or even what my impression would be if I had a session, because I imagine there must be a lot of skepticism from people.
Sure.
So when you were having your initial session, you said you actually, you saw it, like it was playing out for you.
Yep.
What did it look like? What did you as a living being? I can't figure out the right words. I don't think I have the right vocabulary to talk about.
Yeah, totally.
What did it look like to you?
Yeah. Okay. So I love this question because it kind of goes into the mechanics of how it all works. So, this type of hypnosis that I use, it works with a theta brainwave state.
Okay.
And so in theta, you're able to access information that's stored in your subconscious. Your higher self has the access to the information, and your higher self and your spirit team kind of help out during the process. And so when you're seeing these images float in, if you're doing a regular past life regression, it looks, and it's on Earth, it looks like Earth, you can see a lot of detail and things like that. But for some of us, when we do these sessions that happen on other planets, the way it floats in, it's a little bit more cartoon-like or with symbols, because our brain cannot actually see what we have never seen before in this lifetime. Like our conscious mind can't. There's a story that I always tell about, there was this explorer called Magellan. He was, back in the 1400s or something. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but so when he came to, there was an island that he came to where there were some natives there, and he came with his big masted giant ship, and the natives there, they had never seen a giant ship like that, so they couldn't even see the ship because their brain, had never seen anything like it. And so they were able to see the canoes, because it looked like their own, they were coming to and from the ship, but they weren't able to see the actual ship. So the explorers had to go talk to the shamans in the village and explain to the shamans what the ship looked like. And then the shamans were able to see it because they were used to working with altered brainwave states. Mm-hmm. And then the shamans had to explain it to the villagers. And so then eventually the villagers were able to see it as well. And so that's kind of how it is when you're working with ET energy and ET imaging and kind of going into these worlds that you could never even imagine, is it comes through in the only way you know how. So for example, I had a client who she was exploring a past life in an underwater type of planet that was aquatic. And so to her, it looked like the Little Mermaid. And she's like, I know this isn't the Little Mermaid, but this is what I'm getting. So it's like, just go with it. But the emotions are what are absolutely, you know, you feel them so true, you know, regardless of whether it's on another planet or here.
Right. So I'm sure other people are wondering this, and I definitely am. Do we reincarnate on those other planets just like we, you know, come through here time and time again for growth? Do we do the same thing? Sure. I'm assuming we do, but I'm
not. Oh, yeah. So I love this question too. So on other planets, you know, most of us are kind of tied to a certain star system or a planet, you know, so we reincarnate in whatever planet we're on. However, there are a lot of us who are, you know, starseeds who have specifically volunteered to come to Earth to help out here. So now we're on Earth until kind of the our job, our mission is done here on this planet. So so it's similar. It just depends on which planet you're on. Usually stick with the same planet until your soul, right before you incarnate, chooses to kind of hop over to somewhere else if you want to experience something different.
I think that's so cool. I can't even like fathom being some sort of aquatic creature. Uh-huh. I've done it before.
Yeah.
So when you started doing your hypnosis sessions, obviously when you're working with clients, I mean, they're from different, whether it's, I guess, galaxies or planets or what have you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine that some of these places must have been just new that you've never heard of before.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I've done a lot of, I kind of dove in headfirst into learning as much as I could about galactic heritage and galactic history, things like that. There are a few sources that are really great that I trust that I really dove first, headfirst into. So I really, when I was kind of learning all of this, you know, I got to start to sort of learn how to read the energy of the people who I'm working with. And I started to be able to actually be able to kind of discern which civilization they were from. And so then as the sessions go on, you know, we're able to confirm it during the session. And so sometimes I get people from mystery planets where I just, or even another galaxy where I'm just like, I don't know where this is, but I'm dying to know. But usually we're able to tell what galactic civilization somebody was from, you know, previous to incarnating here.
Do you see any trends? So for example, mm-hmm. do you see that a lot of people are coming from X, Y, and Z, you know, planets or systems or whatever to mm-hmm. Earth?
Definitely. I see a lot of Lyrans or Lyrians, whatever you prefer to call them. a lot of Sirians, a lot of Pleiadians. Those are kind of the big ones that I get a lot.
So is there any, I know this is a very dumb question, but I have to ask, is there any relationship with Sirians and Lyrans by chance? Or do you?
No, that's a great question. So the way that we kind of, life evolved through our galaxy, life started in Lyra. And so then it moved outward after the war that I happened to be a part of, unfortunately. That war, then Lyra branched out. It was kind of like a big refugee situation, moved out and either went to Vega, which is a star in star system in Lyra, or went to the Pleiades. So kind of two different trajectories, but from the Pleiades and from Vega, you can go to Sirius. So if you're looking at like a star map, you can kind of see where the trajectory is based off of time. But, you know, there's each civilization has its own kind of different characteristics and flavor and looks different and different kind of energy. So you can kind of tell by speaking with somebody.
Definitely. I'm asking you that because, and again, just the story I told you earlier, uh-huh. and my friend had asked me, I had heard first Lyrian and then switched over to Sirian.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I thought I was totally making, you know, I was like,
off
my mind. I don't know. This is what I'm hearing. And I'm just going to tell you, but I've never heard of this before. So this is really amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like me talking about this. And I'm very interested if you have noticed during your sessions, like you said, they have their own characteristics or flavors. Are there any signs of someone like being from, I don't know, the Pleiades or somewhere else? Have you noticed what those are?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I find that the personality carries over quite a bit. So based off of what star systems you've been in recently. So for example, Lyrans are kind of more serious and kind of a little bit more, not masculine as far as like physically masculine, like the gender, but I mean like more of that masculine energy. They were kind of the original, colonizers of the galaxy. So they just have that very strong, steadfast energy. And then kind of the opposite of that, Vega is more, they were more kind of represented the feminine polarity as well. So, but they're a little bit more cerebral. Okay. And, but they're very much interested in things like spiritual technology, like crystals, tarot cards, things like that. So then Sirians are, they're kind of all over the place, but they're, I would consider them kind of the people who are like the architects, the engineers, those type of people here. Pleiadians are very kind of like happy-go-lucky, rose-colored glasses, optimistic to a fault sometimes. So those are some of the main ones. There's all sorts of other civilizations too, but I encounter a lot of them. So
when you're doing your sessions, and you know, your client is talking about what happened, like in a different planet or wherever they are, is their guide also present, during sessions? Or can I also ask, is there, for lack of a better word here, like that ET energy?
Mm-hmm.
Present with them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So what happens is during the kind of lead up to the session, well, we do a few rituals. And so one of them is gathering all of our teams. So I gather my team, my spirit team, which, you know, I have a Lyran guide, two Lyran guides actually. And then they gather their own team as well and kind of assembles around them. And so it's, and their higher selves and my higher self. So it's all kind of like a team effort, and we all work together. So I'm kind of getting hits from them and their team. And so that helps me kind of know what questions to ask or where to go or what to do as we explore whatever life comes up.
What is it like to interact with these beings from other places? And I know that's kind of a foolish question, because I know that we have spirit guides and whatever, but I imagine, you know, just in my own mind, it is very different energy. And I also imagine that they have very specific intentions as well. So I'm wondering, like, what is it like when you're having conversations with them?
Yes. Yeah, totally. It varies from being to being. Like, each entity is so different. I have one client right now who the entity that kind of channels through her is just kind of has a really fun personality and is kind of bubbly and a little bit, quite a bit actually different from her Earth personality. whereas, for example, my past self, if I channel him, he's very, very serious and, you know, speaks with a low voice and is just totally different from me, who you're talking to. So that's one of my favorite parts, is just interacting with these different entities that come out every once in a while and talking to them and asking them questions. And they're all so different. Some of them are very kind of, I'm always reminded how, even if it's somebody from another planet, even if it's like a very high frequency entity, like we all share, there's still like a unity that makes us all people, even if we're not, you know, the same species. There's things that are similar, and they like to make jokes and things like that. So it's always surprising.
So I'm wondering, is there ever just for you specifically, when you're engaging with them, is there ever any messages? Like, is there an overarching concern about what's happening on Earth? I guess that's
right. Oh, absolutely. That topic comes up a lot. Yeah.
What are the takeaways from some of those conversations? Since I know, civilizations rise and fall throughout life. Sure. Like, that's just, the norm. Everything happens, no matter how far advanced you get technologically. But, we are in what we would consider to be, because we're here now, like a chaotic time. Like, what is their overall, what are the takeaways you get from conversing with them about the state of the planet, I guess?
Oh, yes. So that comes up every time. Because a lot of the things that, so when I'm going into a session with somebody, usually one of their questions is like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Why? Like, if I'm a starseed, why did I volunteer here? What am I here to do? So with that, when that question comes up, that's when we get a lot of these answers. And, usually I get one of two things. So it's either, I'm here to kind of be here and affect the consciousness on our planet by being a high frequency soul in an earth body, and to just kind of affect the people around me. And sometimes it's actually people might have like a specific mission they're supposed to, they're kind of here to do. But the overall theme is, in this time where we are, quickly, the momentum is building on our planet for, a tipping point with our consciousness here for us to move into, fourth density consciousness and come together as a planet. We can either come together or go apart and destroy ourselves, basically. Yeah. And so the overall mission, the I've received many positive outlooks lately. So entities saying like, the deck is stacked, there's enough of us here on Earth, and it's happening. We're going to, we're going to evolve as a planet. We're going to make it. We're going to join the galactic community. We're going to do it. We're not going to blow ourselves up. What I've been getting also lately is things will get likely more chaotic for a while, but within this lifetime, things are going to shift. We're going to come together as a planet, as a species.
I mean, it's scary, but good, right?
Right. Yes. But, I'm always asking anytime I do a hypnosis session to see if anybody, whoever I'm speaking with knows. And so it's, I've been getting a lot of, we have reason to hope, that things are going to get better on this planet in our lifetime, hopefully.
Yes, I hope in our lifetime.
Yeah. And there are so many starseeds here and the children that are here, it's the ETs are trying to help from the outside as much as they can without interfering to kind of help our species get it together and not destroy our own planet.
Exactly. Oh no, we totally need it.
Yeah.
So what is the process like? Or have you ever asked about what the transition is like when you leave Earth, like what the death process kind of looks like, and what are the stories that you've heard from that perspective of your clients?
Yes. So I guess it depends on, there's so many factors. There's so many different types of like starseeds here that have different processes depending on where they came from. There are, most of us are going to be kind of reincarnating here until the consciousness shifts on this planet and our kind of mission is done. Some of them, don't have a big, they don't really go to like the soul soup after and then come back 1,000 years later or whatever. Yeah. They're kind of here for the long haul until Earth, gets together.
Like, oh God.
Yeah. So some of us have been here for thousands of years. Some of us are here really most recently in the past, maybe 50 years. And it's maybe here for a couple lifetimes until things tip here on our planet.
What about our families that we reincarnate into? Are we same lineage? Is this the same galactic lineage, or is it kind of like a mixed bag here?
Yeah, it's really kind of a mixed bag. So for example, what I learned about myself is I'm here with my daughter and my mom. The three of us are we're a cosmic family. We've been through Lyra. We shared that life that actually came up in my session, and we've kind of hopped around together. And so I see that very often where it will be, you know, people incarnate with kind of like a pod, you know, like your soul family. But oftentimes it'll be at least two or three people in the family will be from the same cosmic family.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And often it's generational. So it'll be like the grandma, the, you know, mother, the daughter, or something like that.
Are they all, do they have essentially the same mission or no?
What I have found is that it's kind of paving the way so that for each generation, it gets a little bit easier. The next person can take on a bigger kind of heap of the responsibility for being here.
That's really cool. I like that. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this Galactic Federation.
Okay. I love this topic.
I don't know them. I don't know what's going on outside of our solar system. So I'm very, curious.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Galactic Federation is huge. So I think some people think of it maybe as kind of some like elite, you know, there's like one spaceship with all these people on or something, but there's all these different divisions. So I served on the Federation before, in many incarnations, and I've had many clients who have also served on the Federation. A lot of people who are starseeds here have served on the Federation because it's kind of like people who are volunteering for it are, you know, the ones that are invested in the outcome of Earth. So there's all these different kind of different responsibilities, different units, I guess. I have one client right now who's working, you know, her past self, sort of parallel self, sort of. It's hard to explain, but is, you know, was on the Federation and, you know, working in research. So, you know, she was there, came down to Earth during Atlantean times and, you know, helped out here on the planet, came back, you know. So there's like, everybody kind of has a different, some of it's like studying, you know, flora and fauna from different civilizations, or it could be actual governing things, or it could be you know, peace affairs. Like my job was peace affairs. So everybody kind of has a different job, but it's just all different beings that work together for the good of all, basically.
So when you are leaving this planet, I know you said the process is different depending on, you know, I guess where you're from. Mm-hmm. Do we remember, like, as soon as we leave the physical self, do we remember what we are and where we're supposed to go? Does that kind of like snap back, or are we kind of in this crazy haze until something comes to get us? Or mm-hmm. like you said, some of us just come right back in. Do you have examples or anything?
Totally. Yeah, that actually came up, and I'm actually releasing a podcast about this that's going to drop in a couple weeks as an interview with one of my clients who's, we were talking about this, how this process works. So sometimes what usually happens is, so that it won't be so drastic, you know, like, oh my God, like, you know, going from an Earth body to then being out in space or something.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, there's kind of a mass awakening happening now, because there are so many of us here. We're starting to remember who we are and what we're here to do. But also, you know, before somebody passes, for example, there might be some memories start coming through, so that it's not like a giant shock by the time, you know, if you have time to prepare, for example. The ideal situation is that you have some awareness of who you are before you leave your Earth body, so that it's not a giant shock.
Definitely. And I've read stories from many people. And I have some friends whose family members have recently transitioned, and they would tell me stories of their family, like seeing, you know, their deceased family in the room with them or having these visitations. You know, they were like leaving the planet. Do you think those like visitations are not just your current like earth family, but also from other
places? I think absolutely. Absolutely. I know I tell this story in my podcast. I had a near death experience like a couple months ago, which was very interesting. So I kind of had a little window into this. And so for myself, what I immediately felt when it was like, I saw, it was like golden light, and I felt my whole star family around me. And it was like, I knew I was in the presence of, you know, these entities, my guides, my family from, you know, the other side. And so I think it's it's a mix. We have ancestors, we have spirit guides, we have loved ones, you know, we have cosmic family. I think it's all kind of one team, right? You can kind of think of it like that.
Interesting. That makes us eager, even though we shouldn't be.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's very important to stay grounded doing this work. Yes. Otherwise it can be, we can start wishing that we were just not even here at all.
Yeah, exactly.
On this planet.
So we've spoken about off planet, but I'm curious now about like Atlantis and Lemuria.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering what you've encountered when you're doing sessions with people who have been in these civilizations. What happened to these civilizations, and how many of us on the planet today do you think actually were during those times?
Yeah. Oh, this is my other favorite topic. You're asking so many wonderful questions. So this has been coming up in my sessions a lot. I had two clients who came to me at the same time, who we had literally sessions back to back on the same day, both about the destruction of Atlantis and Lemuria. And so, I've been getting a lot of information about this lately, because, you know, there's kind of like legends, you know, people talk about what happened, but it's hard to know what actually happened. Right. So it's interesting when you talk to somebody who actually was there when it happened and can give you details that you never would have even imagined. So what happened in, Atlantis and Lemuria, they were both founded by star people. You know, they came here during a time on Earth when the conditions were right for us to be able to have, you know, a high level civilization here. And that was the hope. It was a 5D civilization. Both of them were. That was kind of the hope that, you know, Earth would be on this nice trajectory to have this beautiful awakening, and it'd be this beautiful place where star people and earthlings could all kind of coexist. Of course, that's not what happened. So what happened was in Atlantis, there was an experiment that the star people did who are working there on the Federation. And so they tried to make a starseed. So somebody who would be an Earth body with an ET soul. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of what they were going towards, you know, seeing if that would work. And so that person was there in Atlantis, but that person, it backfired, and there was no kind of like recall button. And so this person ended up being greedy, you know, kind of, they were jealous of Lemuria and their resources and how peacefully they were able to govern. You have to kind of think of both. They were very different societies. So Atlantis, I think of it as kind of like the, it was created in like Father God consciousness. So kind of more masculine. It was a bustling civilization. It was a metropolis. They had tons of technology, things like that. It was kind of more localized, whereas Lemuria was more of the feminine principle, the mother god type. And so it was a continent. It was, you know, it was just people living peacefully together, using nature, using crystals. It was a very beautiful society. So Atlantis, so this this starseed, he got jealous. He convinced the Atlanteans to destroy Lemuria and destroy Atlantis. And then the star people who were in Atlantis, they just fled. They just had to leave. Many of them died. It was very violent. They had to leave. The Lemurians, they got completely wiped out. There was like a, through some sort of crystal scientific technology that they had, they basically detonated Lemuria from underneath and it all went underwater.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's crazy, huh? It's so crazy to think about, like, I mean, that was probably a long time ago for us, mm-hmm. you know, it's just so crazy to think about really the number of unique civilizations that have been here and, just the kind of, I feel like same for lack of a better word, battles that have been going on in humanity.
Oh yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like greed and jealousy and selfishness, and it's recurring. And I'm assuming
right.
that hopefully whatever shift is supposed to be happening here on this planet, you know, is to like address those and overcome.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely. I mean, we have to, for us to evolve as a species, we have to integrate the negative polarity, you know, with the positive and come together, you know, and have that, want to come together as a planet, right? Exactly. Not just force each other to come together, but want to.
Desire has to be there, people.
Exactly. Otherwise it's, if we just keep fighting with each other, you know, it's never going to happen. So, yeah.
I have another question for you. So if we're here, you know, we have a mission, mm-hmm. You know, being a part of, you know, the human species, and part of our mission, I imagine, is to help evolve like consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's this belief, and I probably hold the same belief, that we're also here to learn lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something mm-hmm. that you gathered during your sessions with your clients?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of a mix. So it's a mix of working through karma, you know, that we have entered with from previous lifetimes. And it's also, you know, kind of fulfilling our mission or just being right. Mm-hmm. Part of us of being able to be our high frequency self is working through the karma that we, you know, collect here on Earth and off of Earth. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why healing is so important for us, so that we can, you know, and healing and intentional working through our karma as well, you know, growing soul growth. Cause I believe that's what really helps us increase our frequency.
Definitely. So I do have a couple of peculiar questions.
You've
encountered all sorts of things during your sessions. So I'm just curious if any of these topics have ever kind of come up. So, mm-hmm. As we know, like we coexist with all types of different energies on this planet and in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a session where someone has encountered what we would consider to be kind of like a dark energy entity or anything that's a darker energy on the planet, as opposed to just like, you know, people, but like,
sure.
Did it form by chance?
You know what? I had one session. This was actually the first Starseed session that ever came up. I was really surprised. Where it was, there was kind of a dark force working, like a darker species that was here on Earth, and this person was a member of that species. I'm not sure which one it was, because it was before I kind of nerded out on all the different civilizations. but it was one where she was actually working for them, and she ended up rebelling against it and, you know, having her own karmic journey. But that was the only time I've ever encountered anything really dark. I mean, things happen outside of Earth that I see, you know, because sometimes these sessions are in space, there's battles, things happening like that. And so there's always, you know, in our galaxy, there's a big kind of balance between the dark and the light, mm-hmm. still. And that's kind of there. That's purposeful. It's supposed to be there. We can't have only light. So there are species that are more dark oriented, you know, and it's not something to necessarily change. It just kind of, it's just keeping the balance in the galaxy. But I don't see a whole things like dark entities, you know, attaching themselves or anything like that. I've certainly had a lot of experiences with I kind of grew up being able to sense entities and lived in a haunted house and all sorts of stuff. So, that comes up every once in a while, but I don't see it that much.
Interesting. Okay. I was very curious about that because, everything kind of coexists everywhere. And I just wondered like how prevalent it really was here.
Yeah. I don't encounter it much, actually.
So what about this idea? I'm very curious about this one other thing. So as you know, that in Greece, in Rome, in ancient Egypt, a lot of their belief systems was, predicated on the worship of various types of gods, right? Whether it was like half human and half animal or whatever. Do you think these so-called like mythic beliefs that they have, their stories, do you think this was because they encountered something similar from in other, galaxies, on other planets, and, or their visitations here on Earth? Where have you ever asked any of those types of questions at all? Or?
Yeah. So there, a lot of those are going to be the Syrians that had worked with Earth back in these kind of more ancient times. Because the Syrians, they really tried to help us, to give us, technology, to help us kind of evolve and things like the pyramids, things like that. That's all spiritual technology. And that's all because of the Syrians. And so a lot of it, there's a book you could read too that I could suggest is the Raw Material.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that book. So Ra is Syrian. And so there's, or was at one point. So there, that is a lot of the involvement was with the Syrians, or it could be left over, kind of from Atlantean and Lemurian times as well.
It's so fascinating, even having this discussion with you, because it just reminds you like how, there's so much going on elsewhere, and this is so tiny and this huge, bigger picture. And we're so focused on, and it's important that we're focused on life and the everyday, but when you have the opportunity, and I imagine through your work, it just makes you think of life very differently and why we're here, and that this is just, time is very quick down here, and, we're doing totally. So much more.
Yes, absolutely. And also, these other civilizations, they live a lot longer. It's like Earth really is, these Earth lifetimes are such a little blip. And it really, I think that's been a lot of my own kind of healing in a way, is kind of realizing like, I'm here. The planet is in chaos. Like, I might as well have some fun, try not to take things too seriously, because like, what even is this? So that really kind of helped me live life to the fullest, because
100%, I can imagine, oh my goodness. I think what you do is completely incredible. And if anything, I imagine like some of the takeaways, at least from your clients, it's like, there's something greater and more fantastic than, the petty BS that we kind of, focus on down here. Totally. There's a bigger picture. There's a greater plan. And we're all like part of that. We're trying to move forward, inch by inch. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I imagine that is helpful, as I would have as a takeaway from having a session, because it's a great reminder, but also I would imagine it reminds you that you are important. Like you are just as essential as everybody else.
Yes, absolutely. And also a lot of my clients, we kind of grew up feeling different and than everybody, and kind of never felt like this was home. never was able to really verbalize that or really understand that feeling. And so it really, it's uniting, seeing the unity in everyone, and feeling that connectedness to everything that maybe you've never felt before, because you just didn't have any sort of awareness that there was anything else out there that you were missing, even though you knew it deep inside.
Definitely. I think that is super helpful, especially during now when everything is super divided. At least it seems like there's some sort of, agenda to make sure that we're separate, or that mm-hmm. were intentionally, you know, in different groups or different camps at this moment. It seems like those forces are quite strong right now on the planet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it will, you know, it'll keep getting more polarized as, you know, we are really transitioning from a third density to fourth density species right now. And as that happens, our egos are lightening, you know, it's hard for the people who want to maintain control because they are seeing that they can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody's kind of digging their heels into these systems that are broken. But at some point they're going to break and they're meant to, right? That's a sign that we are evolving and maturing as actually a galactic species, not just an Earth species.
Definitely. And do you think this is occurring elsewhere in other galaxies or other planets in other galaxies where there's a concerted effort for many star seeds to go there and help shift the consciousness of wherever it is? Or is this happening at large everywhere at the quote unquote same time or no? What do you think
about that? Okay. So this is all eyes are on Earth right now. We are the last civilization in the galaxy to evolve. So we're like the tip of the funnel or the spiral, you know, if you look at it, mm-hmm. evolution as a spiral, and we are the very last ones, and they have been working with us for so many thousands of years and to try to help us, you know, that they're invested. They're like, we can't have them blow themselves up. Right. We can't. We've worked too hard for this. So all eyes are on us, and they're since the atomic bomb, that was really, you know, in World War II, that was really the big, everybody took notice and tried to come here to help. So they're rooting for us.
I hope so. It's going to be a hard job. Like, yeah. It's difficult. Do you think there would ever be, if it ever got to that point again, mm-hmm. Do you ever think that potentially there would be some sort of mass intervention from outside?
So they have what do they call it? It's kind of like the prime directive. It's like they are not, because we are a planet of free will, they're not allowed to intervene. Mm-hmm. So, and they actually, you know, if they could, you know, we're not mature enough as a species. Because if they came down with a bunch of ships and were like, hey guys, get it together, you know, it would be a total mess, you know, on our planet. We've seen enough alien attacking movies to know how that would go. So that's why they're trying to affect it from the inside. Mm-hmm. But this is all in preparation to join the Federation and to join, mature as a species and join, you know, because we have to at some point. And so this is kind of in preparation of that as well.
So in terms of referencing what you just said, you know, Earth mm-hmm. is a planet of free will. Are there other places you've encountered where there is no free will?
You know what? I actually have not. Okay. It's kind of everywhere I've encountered, see the people who I talk to, the entities that come through, are ones that chose to volunteer here because they came from highly evolved civilizations. So they're going to be kind of like the A team, you know, from these planets that are benevolent. You know, so I encounter a lot of very high frequency people who, you know, they come from civilizations that are able to govern themselves very well because they have been through their own awakening and evolved as a species. So that's why all of them are, you know, we're all here now trying to influence everybody else.
Definitely. Oh, I think this work is so interesting. I'd probably keep you here all day. I have like a million questions, but everybody who's listening, there's a podcast.
Yes. I answer a lot of them on there. Yeah.
Yes. So you don't have to retell us all the stories, even though I'm telling you, we'd all want to hear them. It's so.
Lots of stories.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. It's so fascinating to me. I just conceiving it, I can't even imagine what a session would be like, but it has to be very mm-hmm. cool. And I know you said that you take people to a theta state. Does it take a long time for somebody to get there or?
Yeah, it takes, I like to really take my time because we get better session results when we are nice and slow and relaxed about it. So it takes maybe a half hour.
Okay.
And then by that time is when that state is reached and some impressions start to float in, and we get to see what's in store for them on their magical journey.
How long are these sessions? Do you do them over a course of several days? Are they several hours mm-hmm. in one day?
Sure. Yeah. So I have like a couple different ways I do it depending on how long somebody wants to work with me. But the kind of standard one would be we meet four times within a month. So the first time is really preparing for that session so that you have a really great session. We get all information you want to ask as well. Cause it's not just like, let's recover your memories. It's also like, okay, what else do you need to heal from in this lifetime? What questions do you have that you don't know the answers to? What weird experiences have you had that you have no answers to? So that all comes out. And then we do the first session. And so that's about 2 hours. And so that's a week later. And then we have a processing session where we kind of debrief all of the stuff that comes out, because there's always, you never know what's going to come up. And then usually the first session opens up a big can of worms. And it's like, okay, what other questions do we have here? Because it's like kind of the tip of the iceberg. And so then we do another session after that. And then we just have a final processing. Actually, wait, that's four times. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. So then we do the final session, and then that's kind of my typical structure.
That's very cool. I'm sure people are going to be super excited. I'm so glad that you're on the show today. This has been very informative, enlightening, and exciting and new. And if people want to connect with you, how can they find you? What promotions do you have right now?
Sure. You can go to my websites, thestarseedawakener.com. I have links to everything up on there. My private program, as well as my podcast. You can find me, my podcast is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's the Starseed Awakening Podcast. If you type in Starseed, it'll be the first one that pops up. and I hang out on Instagram. You can follow me. It's at the Starseed Awakener. Awesome. Try to keep it nice and
consistent.
Yeah, consistent. Keep it easy. And so I hang out my stories there. I do things like on Tuesdays, I ask, let people ask questions, any questions they have about past lives or different galactic civilizations, aliens, whatever. So I hang out my stories there. And then if you want to work with me, you guys can, I'll give you a promotion too. So if you mention, because we book a call first before we work together, because I want to make sure that you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
All of that. And so if you book a call with me, I can offer, for my 1 month package, I can offer $111 off of that. Or for my 3 month package, I can offer $333 off of that. Because I like angel numbers.
Yes.
So just mention that you found me on the Intuitive Awakening podcast.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time. This was great. I'd love to have you on again to dive deeper.
Oh, absolutely.
thank you for your time, Renee. And I hope you have a great week ahead. And everybody, check her out. This is fantastic. Thank you,
Renee. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.